This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast is brought to you by our friends at BetterUp. BetterUp is the inventor of virtual coaching and the largest mental health and coaching startup in the world. With a network of over 3,000 coaches offering support in 64 languages, over 70 countries. The BetterUp experience brings together world-class coaching, AI technology, and behavioral science experts to deliver change at scale, improving individual resilience, adaptability, and effectiveness. The results? People living more meaningful, vibrant lives with greater clarity, purpose, and passion. Click the link in the description now to download a free copy of their Future Minded Leader report and learn how to outsmart the innovator's bias and how to cultivate more future-minded leadership across your entire organization. That being said, let's jump back into the podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives from the world's leading global brands. Today, we're joined by our good friend, Tim Munden, who's the Chief Learning Officer at Unilever. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm great. Thank you. It's really nice to see you again.
It's been a while, right? But like, I think last time I saw you was at 4 Acres.
Yes. Right? Yeah, it was.
And what an amazing day that was. Thank you so much for having us.
Very welcome. It was great conversations, what the place was built for.
Exactly. And it kind of exceeded our expectations. So and everyone had a lot of fun, all of the HR executives involved. So I appreciate that. It's second time on the podcast. So thanks so much for coming back. Obviously, you're not sick and tired of us.
No. Really happy to be back.
Fantastic. Well, I was saying to you before the show, on more of a serious point of view, that our last conversation was a massive game changer for me. When we first started the podcast, and for everyone listening, it was around health and well-being, mental health and well-being. I never expected that I would be going on my own journey throughout that episode. And through you talking about your experience, and that really kind of opened the door for me to express how I was feeling. And for everyone listening, pretty much for my whole life, I've suffered with anxiety and panic attacks, and I never understood what was wrong with me. I hid it from everyone. My wife for 14 years, she had no idea, my friends, my family. And it was in the last episode with Tim that I actually kind of spoke up and sort of discussed how I was feeling about it. And it's been a huge weight off my shoulders. All of the fears, the anxiety, because people don't realize you have anxiety about having anxiety.
Right, absolutely.
And you worry about what are my friends going to think, what are my colleagues, my family, and everything. All of those concerns that I had were completely unfounded. And if anything, everyone rallied around me. We had no idea that you were suffering or you felt that way. And a lot of my friends and family would never understood why I wouldn't turn up to that social gathering or that party or that wedding, or why has Chris not left his house for 2 weeks? That was why. And for my whole life, I've always hid that. I think the only person that was aware was my mum, and who also suffers from anxiety as well. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, because it's been huge for me.
Well, I thought you were immensely brave to do it, and it was great. And also for me, because my journey was very similar, of working and talking about mental health for quite a while, listening to people talking about their experience, and then realizing that what some people were talking about was something that I was also experiencing, which is post-traumatic stress. And that helped me to then reach out and get help. So I've had a similar experience to you. And I think, like you, once you start to speak about it, it enables other people to speak about it. And that's the work we're doing in the mental health area, is helping people to be open, to get help. And so I thought you did a fantastic thing there. So thank you.
Well, that's not really the topic of this episode today, guys, but I just wanted to say thank you to Tim for doing that, because it's huge for me, not just personally, professionally, family. It kind of impacts every single part of your life. So on today's show, we're going to talk about something as equally important, I think, as well, which is around purpose and how purpose drives performance, which is, I know, another area, Tim, that you're very passionate about.
Absolutely.
And doing a lot of work around. So let's start with the obvious question. In your mind, what is purpose, and why should an organization bother about it?
So purpose is being talked about a huge amount. And I think it's easy for us to kind of almost not really think anymore about what it means. But what it really means is why. Why do people do things? And that happens at an individual level. For an individual, it's why do I do what I do? And to answer the question of what is it that fundamentally motivates me, what is most meaningful to me, And then for organizations, which is also purpose is very, very relevant for, it's about asking and answering the question of why do you exist? Fundamentally, why are you here? So purpose really is about asking that why question, answering it, but then really importantly, acting from it. And that's the really critical part. And actually the harder part is acting from purpose. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that people are really interested in because I think there's a desire in the world for authenticity. There's a realization in the world that unless we really care for the world, I think we're being forced by global warming and climate change and income inequality and all of these global phenomena, we're being forced to really reflect on what really matters to us as communities and therefore as companies in those communities and therefore as individuals.
What triggered this to become front of mind for Unilever?
Well, we have a very interesting history that we came from several founding companies, but one of the key founders was a man called William Hesketh Lever, who founded a business in the 1880s, and he had a very clear mission, which I think we would now call a purpose, which was to make cleanliness commonplace and lessen work. For women is how he described it, but it was about cleaning. I think now we would say it's for all of us. But it was to lessen work. And that was a very clear purpose at the time because lack of cleanliness was killing people in Victorian Britain. Mm-hmm. So he realized that by driving a business that had a very clear impact in and for society, he would drive a great business. And he built a village for his employees. He created employee share ownership. So from that sense of purposefulness of serving society came a way of running a company. So I think for us, it's been in our DNA. About 10 years ago, our CEO at the time, Paul Polman, really tried to crystallize that again for us by identifying with the senior team a purpose of making sustainable living commonplace. Mm-hmm. And that's what really has motivated our company since then. That purpose forms the basis of our strategy. So I think it comes from our history. But it comes from our recognition that you can't have a healthy business unless you have healthy societies. And that in the end, what consumers want these days is brands they can trust, brands that share their same values, brands that have those share their concerns about the world. And so for us, it's about how we serve the world, serve our consumers, and look after our people.
Fantastic. And how are you then now aligning the purpose of the business with the purpose of, you know, the tens of hundreds of thousands of people work for Unilever, right?
Indeed, this is really, really important. So if you want to have a purposeful business with purposeful brands, you need to encourage people to come to work with their purpose and to bring their whole selves. I think actually purpose is very related to where we started, Chris. It's mm-hmm. about the whole person coming to work and being open. So we want to have people who are connected to their purpose and work consciously from their purpose. So in order to achieve that, we have created a workshop, an experience for people to help them find words and connect to that purpose. And then we encourage them to put that purpose at the heart of their development plan and their career plan and to work from it. We don't try and shape it. And we don't try and make a very tight link between Unilever's purpose and their own purpose. That happens naturally. We just try and create a space where people can bring that purpose naturally to the workplace.
Not to state the obvious, but, you know, what are the main benefits that you see for people and individuals in terms of, you know, leading from purpose?
There's many, and we're currently in a research study with LSE to understand exactly how the benefits work and what they are. But we've already seen quite a few. So by this point, 45,000 of our people have been through a purpose workshop, and that's quite a large number.
Oh, yeah.
They've come from all kinds of backgrounds. So it may be that people listening are thinking, well, that's great for people in offices, but this has been an experience that's been offered and really taken up by people around the world in many, many countries and from many backgrounds in our factories, in our offices, in our research labs. This is a deeply human thing. So one of the benefits is that it really emphasizes that human thing. And so in some of the focus groups we've done, we've seen that the benefits that people describe are that it creates a common language to talk about things that matter to people. Mm-hmm. It creates trust and transparency because people really see each other. Actually, often after the workshops, I've run 25, 30 of them myself. People say afterwards, you know, I never really knew the people that I worked with, because we're used to the outer. We're used to the things we talk about every day, but we don't hear these deep stories, which is how we do this. So trust, transparency, team bonding. And therefore, it also helps us to think about what tasks people want to do and helps to shape careers. And people are much more invested in their development plans if it's based on the thing they care about. I think one of the things that HR professionals have struggled with over the years is getting people to fulfill these training plans that everyone writes. And we ask them, well, why don't people do the training? And you think, well, because it's not their plan. It's not their plan,
not motivated, and it's not linked to their purpose.
Exactly. So if you come from purpose, so we find, you know, almost 100% of people, literally 97, say it's a good investment of time. They say they'll use it in their job. So I think it's really interesting. They'll use it in their job. They recommend it to others. And there's other benefits. More likely to have a long-term career direction by 16%, 17% more likely to have a development plan, 11% more likely to find their role fulfilling, actually less likely to leave the business, which is a great thing for us. So there are many benefits of helping people to discover their purpose, quite apart from the business benefits that this really helps us to have purposeful brands, which we know consumers prefer.
Most of the brands that you use is used because they align with your beliefs and your purpose.
Exactly.
Without even you realizing it sometimes. As well. We'll talk about the positives. What about the risks associated? Are there any risks associated, and what any mistakes that you made along the journey?
I think you have to be really conscious that you're engaging in some of the deepest things within the human being. You're inviting them to really share, as we do in this journey of identifying purpose. We ask people to share deep stories about their history and what they've done and difficult times and proud times. You have to create a very safe and respectful space for that. So I think unless you've got the leaders, so we started this journey with our senior leaders over a period of years, that really helped us when we went big with it, because we had purposeful leaders who could anchor and create safe space. So I think you've got to acknowledge that you're getting into a deep space. You have to make it respectful, very safe, and you have to make sure that and this is the second point, you can't do this as a cheap stunt. Now, if you're getting into this because you want the kind of to be able to say you help me be purposeful, you're being more human, but it's not absolutely anchored in your culture and your business strategy, you're going to have a problem, because people are going to sniff that it doesn't line up. So second risk, I think, is to do this without an aligned strategy that says we are purposeful as a business. Most people are going to say, well, I can share my purpose here, but why? What we're doing here isn't purposeful, so why should I? I think you get a lack of resonance. So I think the things you have to do are to make sure you have a good plan to start. I think starting from the purpose of the organization is good. Making sure it's anchored with the leaders is important. And then making sure you have a really respectful and professional process. And then if you're in the position of being a business that's on huge scale, then making sure that you are really, when it rolls out, that it keeps its rigor. And keeps that respectfulness. I think those are the main things. But you're working with the natural way of human beings. I think human beings are naturally meaning orientated and purposeful, and so that really goes a long way.
I remember when I first heard about these purpose workshops, and I honestly, my first impressions was it was going to be very fluffy, and you know, I was like, didn't really know what to expect. And I obviously, you know, I recently went to one myself with Shane, my co-founder. And it was probably one of the best experiences we've ever had. We started out the day where, you know, you're in a room. Well, for us, it was complete strangers that we've never met before. And the very first task we had was to share in a small group the three most, you know, difficult times in our life. So it's anything but fluffy.
Yeah, anything but fluffy. And imagine doing that with work colleagues and the bonding that you then get and the depth of relationship and the culture that forms. So that's a very, very powerful thing. And you know what I love about it is the reason it isn't fluffy is because in the way that we do it, there's very little PowerPoint. There's very little, you know, standing at the front and preaching, because the reality is we all know this stuff. We have a purpose. Every human being is purposeful. What we're trying to do is to help people to bring that front of mind, front of heart, and bring it into the workplace. So what the process we use is really very little PowerPoint, and a lot of people also working in small groups having very real conversations. That's not fluffy, it's just real.
One of the other things that I want to get your opinion on that I've heard from others that have gone through this journey that is that they've left businesses. And have you experienced that where you've had people that have gone through this journey and realized, you know what, perhaps Unilever is not the best place for me? And it's not a bad thing because you know, they've been aligned elsewhere.
Yeah, totally. Not a huge number, but there have been people. And absolutely, what can you say but great?
Yeah.
You know, what a fantastic thing to have discovered your purpose and to go and live that purpose. And people who do that, I think, are also deeply appreciative of an organization that's given them the space to connect with that in the first place. And that's what we want. I mean, you know, Unilever is actually many more than just the employees who work for us. I mean, we have a huge community who work with Unilever and other businesses. I mean, hundreds of thousands. And so that community being purposeful, people going into that wider community is also a fantastic thing. So yes, you will find people who say, I want to do something different now. And I think we're very supportive of that.
Great. It's good to hear because I think people, I was speaking with a team over at ING who are rolling this out globally. And they said that. And they were really, you know, happy for those employees that they discovered that's what they wanted to do. And they helped them actually find jobs as well, which I was like, that's amazing.
Well, I think, look, we're in times of enormous change in the workplace. Potentially the most significant changes coming upon the workplaces of the world since the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be lots of people changing their careers as automation comes in. And lots of people will have to. So our commitment is to helping all people who are in this situation to connect and find their purpose so that that helps them on the rest of their journey. This is an enormously empowering thing. It's a thing I think will help people through change. And I've noticed that a lot myself. When you're in a situation of going through change, having your purpose to refer back to is enormously helpful. It literally is your inner compass on what you want to do and how you want to respond. My purpose is to create lasting change for good. It's why I do what I do. But it also helps me think about how I do what I do, because you can't get an outcome. You know, the ends has to be the same as the means. So purpose helps me think through how to do things as well as what I'm trying to do.
I love that you just shared your purpose. Thanks for sharing that. I'll share my one, which sounds a bit crazy. So mine was my purpose is to be the unbreakable artist that dances you to life. Bear with me on this. So going through the journey and as part of it, as you know, Tim, everyone in the group, they help you discover your purpose too, because it's together you're kind of on this journey. And that's something that I really loved about it. And I was learning things about myself that I never did. And one of the things that some of the people in my group pointed out and said, you do realize what you did as a child and what you're living this out now in your career. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, well, Chris, you said when you were younger, you used to love painting, drawing, creating, sculpting, working with clay. And what you do in your business now is you build products and you spend all your time producing content, building workshops, building online, digital, physical products. That's what you do. And that's where you enjoy. That's what you enjoy doing. And I was like, that's so right. Like, that's what I really love to do, is create something from nothing and bring it to life. And the unbreakable artist is, I was an artist as a kid. And the unbreakable part for me is growing up, I was always told, and everyone, even in our current industry, tell me, you can't do this, Chris. You know, you can't be one of the first HR podcasts on LinkedIn. And I'm like, well, we'll see about that. Yeah, yeah. So for me, there's the unbreakable eyes that no one's going to stop me from achieving what I'm going to achieve, no matter what. And then the dances you to life part, one of the things that I get the most satisfaction out of doing is developing people. And dancing you to life, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing someone come into the business and seeing them grow, develop and flourish.
Yeah.
In their career. Like, for me, that's the most gratifying thing ever. And I realized that I was focusing maybe 20% of my time on those tasks. So when we got back to the office, I completely shifted everything. And now I spend 100% of my time on those tasks that align with my purpose. And when it comes to decision making, saying, should I be doing this or not? It's very easy for me now. I say, is it aligned with my purpose? No. The answer is no. Whereas before it was a lot more difficult. So it's been huge for us.
And so let's reverse this because this is fun. So tell me what's been the effect on your business then of you and Shane becoming more purposeful?
We are much more organized. we're playing to our strengths. So we realized that I was perhaps doing roles that Shane was better at and vice versa. And just because I can do it doesn't mean I should be doing it in that many cases. So we've optimized our business now, become much more efficient, much more, you know, lean, as it were, I suppose it is, use the word. We've developed many, many more products now because I'm focusing on product development, which has then increased our profitability. As well, and added more value to our customers. Our content, our podcast has grown. So we're now reaching, you know, hundreds of thousands of more people around the world because I'm spending more time building content and doing what I love. We've hired in some incredible talent. Now I have time to actually go out and look for and recruit. Whereas before I was so busy in administrative tasks and everything else that I never had time to actually interview people, let alone find talent as well. So it's been a game changer. And also we're working better as co-founders, better relationship.
So there you go. So you've answered the kind of the point of this whole podcast, which is, you know, does purpose drive performance? Absolutely. You've just described it. So purpose helps us to bring more of ourselves, and that more of ourselves, and also to help us connect more to others around us, that helps us drive performance. And that focus also on the purpose of your business, that helps to drive performance. Because in the end, there's only human beings here. I mean, there is money, of course there is, and it matters, and there are brands, and but none of it moves without a human being moving it. So I think what purpose does is to help us connect deeply to the more human, and unsurprisingly we then get more performance out of those organizations. And it does, as you say, help you to focus also on what the things you particularly should do, which gets you the benefit of really your talent is leveraged much more.
Mm-hmm. And for me as well, I feel like I always have this foundation I can go back to at all times. I can operate from that place at all times. I even have when we did our workshop, we had to write our action plan for everyone listening of how we're going to go execute on what we've just gone through for the last few days in the workshop. And what I did, because it was my purpose, I drew it. So I have a huge picture. It fills up our entire wall in our office of my purpose. I drew it out. I painted it and drew it out and the whole on the wall. And now every day I walk in and I can see that's why I'm here. that's what I'm doing. Rather than, because me having it on a piece of paper didn't relate to who I am and my purpose.
Yes. So,
we took it to that extreme.
Show us your painting.
This is the I can't get it off the wall, but I've got the original sketch. This is the original sketch from the day. All right. So I don't know how I'm gonna explain this whilst you guys are on the show, but essentially the river, which you can see coming down, that's a waterfall.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a waterfall with a cliff.
Wow.
Yeah. Represents the journey that I've been on. And along the step of the journey, we have the 1 year. By the way, this is the action plan. So the 1 year action plan, the 2 to 3 years, and then the 3 to 5 years. And then along the way, so in the first year, we want to be, at the time, we wanted to take our HR, launch our business in the US, which we've now done, and bring our HR innovation roundtables to the US market. So that's why you got a picture of the US there. I wanted the podcast to be the number one podcast in the HR space, which I think we're pretty much there. I'm claiming we are. Let me know if you want to challenge me. And that's why it says number one HR podcast right there. Yeah. And then there's a picture of some people here, which you probably can't see, but this is kind of growing our team. And there's a small little plant and a large tree. And that's the sort of me developing our people and then growing with the business as well. And then kind of 2 to 3 year plan was taking our business to AI and voice. Because I believe the future of content is in AI and mainly voice. So even though that's supposed to be a year from now, we've already launched a podcast on Alexa and many other voice platforms. So we're kind of a bit ahead of time on there. I'm not going to go into the rest of the detail, but we have a lot. This is, for me, I walk in the office and I can see visually where I am where I'm going, and I can also update it as well. So
yeah,
that's just really, really
that's
random.
Really cool. That's really, it's really great because of course some people are visual and some people like words. Yeah. And I've worked a lot with purpose with young leaders for the last 10 years or so. And you do need to create space for different types of people to express things differently. You know, we've had purpose in words, in a statement. We've had purpose in songs, purpose in paintings, drawings. And you have to express it because, in fact, constraining how you express something so personal makes no sense. To express something so personal as purpose, you have to express it in a way that really matters to you.
Could you share one of the practical activities that you do within one of your workshops for everyone, just to give them an idea of the type of activities and that you do during the sessions?
So there's a mixture of things. So the storytelling process is really important because through telling stories, you get people to reflect on what shaped them. Mm-hmm. We get people to tell stories. We get people to do some reflection as well and thinking for themselves about what they value and things that are really important to them. And it's that combination then of sharing stories live so that people, there's something about telling your story that makes you hear it for yourself. So you don't read it, you tell it. So you're reflecting as you speak, you're getting some input in what people are hearing from you. You're reflecting yourself, having had that kind of half a day of sharing stories, mm-hmm. you're reflecting deeply on things that matter to you. And then starting to find words that really resonate. And that's a really important part of this is trying to find words that resonate and then sharing those and getting feedback on those. And I find it's this asking questions of yourself. Now, I actually first came across purpose when I was 22. And I had just, I'd been wanting a career in the army and it hadn't worked out. I'd been injured and I had to retire. And I was quite lost as to what on earth to do because that had been my career kind of choice for some years. I actually met someone who changed my life by asking me two questions. What do you really love and what do you want to learn about? And he said to me, if you answer those two questions when you pick your next career, you're always going to be motivated and you're always going to be interested. That was my first exposure to purpose. It wasn't called that. But those two questions are fantastic. What do you really love and what do you want to learn about? And mm-hmm. for me, I love human beings. I mean, human beings are just incredible. All 7 billion, amazing, mm-hmm. with huge potential. And I want to learn about how we can help people express that potential in communities and companies because the world really needs it. And so that's deeply, deeply what motivates me, is why I do what I do. And so those are some of the things you can do. And honestly, you can start work on this. If you're thinking, listening to this, I want to work on that, then I think those two questions are a really great place to start. And the way you do that is you get a notebook and you just start writing. Mm-hmm. And look at it and read it, think about it, and then write some more another day. And those questions, I found them, they really, to be honest, they help to transform.
Before we wrap up, Tim, you know, looking back on the journey that you've been on, you're still on that journey. It's never ending, let's be honest, really, right? What are some lessons that you've learned as a business, also personally as a leader? And what advice would you give to others that are going to be on this journey, whether they're starting out or currently on it?
Yeah, so I think on individual purpose and how you enable it, I think it took us too long to get from the leadership phase to everybody. And I wish we'd been able to go a little faster with hindsight. So don't get stuck in the trap that this has to live only in big leadership programs, because purpose is in all of us. It's natural to all of us. People yearn for it in their work as well as in the brands and the companies they engage with. So move with clarity and speed. Other lessons, keeping your company purpose, organizational purpose, and individual purpose linked together or as an activity, bringing those two people together makes it an awful lot easier, mm-hmm. Because you create the right space. But I think the main thing I'd say is just start. To be honest, you have, whatever organization you're in, you're surrounded by people with purpose. We all have it. The only question is, are you encouraging them to bring it to work and to work consciously and deliberately from it? And as we do, we humanize the workplace, we humanize organizations. And that's what the world needs right now. You know, there's a lot of criticism and concern about organizations that don't create great outcomes for the other human beings. If you engage the deeply human in the company, you'll get the deeply human from the company.
Fantastic. Well, look, Tim, thanks so much again for taking the time out to join us. It's a pleasure as always. I'll definitely let you go now because it's the weekend and all of you guys listening as well. Well, appreciate you coming on, and I wish you all the best until we
thank
catch
you
up again.
Very much. Thanks so much. And if anyone's got any questions or comments, I'm on LinkedIn and my door is open for conversation about this.
Well, that was my last question I was going to ask you, but now you know. But don't blame me, as I say to everyone, don't blame me for all the LinkedIn messages you're going to get after, right? So fantastic. Well, look, I'll let you go, Tim. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you again soon, okay?
Cheers. Thanks, Chris.
See ya. Bye.
See you. Bye.